Actually, it's Mother's Day all day today, so you'll have lots of opportunities to express that. Let's go. Yeah, there you go. Let me just say, isn't it nice to see a little sunshine today? I mean, that's fantastic too. I don't know if you were impacted at all by the heavy rains this week. Our neighborhood, it was Harvey-esque in our neighborhood. Our neighborhood was flooded. Didn't get in any homes, but you couldn't get out, couldn't get in. I mean, I waded home Tuesday evening and all day Wednesday. I was going to say Wednesday was a wash, but that's not a good choice of words there. But it was early Thursday morning before the waters receded. So it's nice to see a little sunshine today. Well, exactly 111 years ago, in May of 1908, a woman named Anna Jarvis asked her home church to honor all mothers and present them with a flower, because she said, "Mom simply cannot be thanked enough." And by 1914, Mother's Day was official nationwide. Happy Mother's Day to you, to all of our moms, grandmoms, foster moms. Continue down the line to every woman in this church who exerts such a wonderful presence and influence among us. We love you. We honor you. You're doing extraordinary work. And let me just acknowledge that on a day like today, there is a wide continuum of mothering. I read something not long ago. Let me take it. I adapted it just a bit. To those who gave birth this year to their first child, we celebrate with you. To those who lost a child this year, we mourn with you. To those who are in the trenches with little ones every day and you wear the badge of food stamps, we appreciate you. To those who experienced loss through miscarriage, a failed adoption, we mourn with you. To those who walk the hard path of infertility, we walk with you. And forgive us when we may say foolish things. We don't mean to make it harder than it is. To those of you who are foster moms, mentor moms, spiritual moms, we need you. To those who have a very warm and close relationship with your children, we celebrate with you. To those who have disappointment, heartache, difficulty, or some distance with your children, we sit with you. To those who lost their mothers, maybe just this past year, we grieve with you. To those who are single and long to be married and mothering your own children, we mourn with you that life hasn't quite turned out the way you long for it to be. To those who step parent, we walk with you, acknowledge that on a very complex assignment. To those who are pregnant with new life, both expected and maybe surprising, we anticipate and joy with you. This Mother's Day, we acknowledge mothering is not for the faint of heart. You are a warrior. We love you. We honor you. And listen, when the Bible says, and it's one of God's top 10 lists, you know, last week in a one-off message, we picked one of the top 10 principles. One of his top 10s is you honor your father and mother. And that sounds very relational. You can almost hear that and think, well, that sounds sort of syrupy, sort of saccharine-like. It is not. It is not. It is very strategic because it brings structure and order and character into a family and into a community. Mothers and fathers are worthy of honor. Well, there's a statement in Proverbs 31 that reads, "A woman of noble character who can find, she is worth more than riches." I got to tell you, every time I read that passage, I think of a dear friend of ours who died way too young. And on her casket, the flower spray, that scripture was written. A woman of noble character who can find, she's worth more than riches. And many of us in this room, we've gotten a front row seat to that, and we would amen that statement. You know, you're probably aware that the Apostle Paul was not married. Now, some Bible scholars think that maybe at one point he was, but really no, wasn't married, though, did not have children. But he will mention family relationships in terms of relationships in the Lord. Brothers, sisters, he'll talk about a son in the faith. And he even mentions a mother in the faith. Romans 16. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too. And many of us here, we all know women like that, women whose strength of character and whose influence reaches beyond their physical family. Timothy was a famous evangelist. He lived in the town of Lystra, modern-day Turkey, and he became a protege of the Apostle Paul. In the Apostle Paul's last letter written in the book of 2 Timothy in Scripture, he reminds Timothy about his upbringing, and this is very significant. He says to Timothy in chapter 1, verse 5, I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois, then in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded it now lives in you also. And then 2 Timothy 3, he expands on that. He says, as for you, continue in what you've learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how, listen to this, and how from infancy you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. If you're not careful, you'll sort of gloss over this, and you'll have a little picture maybe of a mom reading a Mother Goose story, maybe reading a little superficial Bible story, and isn't that nice, and now, sweetie, give you a kiss and go to bed. No. He says, Timothy, your mother and your grandmother engaged in spiritual warfare for you. Spiritual warfare. Because they taught you, they didn't think you in your youth it was to be overlooked. They taught you from an early age what? The sacred scriptures, the holy scriptures. Now, I said spiritual warfare. Many times when a Christian hears the term spiritual warfare, sometimes they think of a power battle. And at times that's true. But listen, when Jesus talked about the adversary, the devil, Satan, how did he describe him? In his longest teaching about Satan, he calls him what? The liar, a father of lies. When he lies, he speaks his native tongue. Spiritual warfare is primarily a warfare about ideas and concepts and information, truth versus error. That's why moms pay close attention to what they say to their children. That's why a parent wants to know, hey, what's being taught to my child? Sometimes you'll even hear a parent say, who put that idea in your head? In the Garden of Eden, when Satan decided to bring a temptation, he didn't come with an intimidating sword. He came with what? Suggestions, ideas. Did God really say, ah, you're not going to die if you do that. There are no consequences there. Actually, you can be like God. One Jewish writer says, a lot of Jewish women, they pride themselves on being good shoppers. And he said, and we need to be good shoppers. And he says, good, she said, good shoppers of ideas. That you walk through this world and you go, okay, I'll take some of that and put it in my family cart. I'll take this and put it in my family cart. I don't want that in my family cart. I don't want this. Timothy, you're blessed because you had a mother and a grandmother who were teaching you healthy, holy information. Now, I'm going to have lots of help this morning. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to have four guys join me by way of video. Chris Groves, Dr. Johnny Johnson, Wade Holmes, and Curtis Duncan. And they're going to just talk to you a little bit about the influence of their moms. And I sort of got this idea. This past summer, I'm at a wedding reception, and I'm chatting with Dr. Johnny Johnson. I said, Johnny, just tell me your story. I was so intrigued by his story. I thought, you know, last couple of years I've had some of our women interviewed about motherhood and the impact of, you know, their mom and counsel for moms. I think it would be good to hear from three or four guys this year and hear about their impact, the impact in their life from their mother. So let's listen.
My mom was an excellent listener. She was empathetic, and she was always there for us growing up. I'm the oldest of three boys, and my mom was just a phenomenal listener. My mom is patient. She's understanding. She always took the time out for us to listen to anything that we were talking about, anything that was on our mind. Growing up, I remember some of the small things. You know, the questions kids always ask, hey, have you thought about this, or why is the sky blue? And she would always entertain those questions and just sit back and listen. We could explore really any topic with her, which was always a really positive thing. My mom always took care of the little things, whether it was school lunches being packed. She always had laundry done, folded, washed, dried, you name it. It was just always taken care of. I think as I look back, one of the things that I wish that I had appreciated more was just how much she did for us. It's not until I was older and out of the house that I realized just how much, you know, a mom really does for you. To this day, my mom is so helpful. She doesn't live in Texas, but at the drop of a hat, she would come here and help us with really anything that we needed. We had twins about a year ago, and she just jumped right in, came and stayed with us for about 2 weeks, and was just, she arrived the day after they were born. It was really great to have her help and to have her here doing that for us.
She was a 10th child of 10 siblings. She had a third grade education. She was a widower. She was a very good person with people. She was a pretty lady, smile on her face. In elementary school, I had quite a devastating incident that happened to me, which was I got shot in my left eye with a BB gun by my cousin. So, you know, it just started from there. I became a person that she was very, very interested in a sense, because she wanted to keep my, I guess, my personality up and my interest up, and wanted to keep my hopes and dreams and things up. So she saw to it that we did our very best, and we did, you know, out of respect for her, because we began to get a little older and understanding what she was going through as a single mother. She was a Christian lady and she was a praying lady, and she taught us how to pray. And she would always, you know, talk to God and include us in the prayers.
My mom, her name's Joy. She's the youngest of seven kids, and there's about a 21-year age difference between her and her oldest sibling. But she learned a lot. She learned a lot about parenting and about being a good sibling and also being part of a family. And she carried that over into motherhood. Her and my dad, they couldn't have their own kids, and so they decided to adopt. And so I'm adopted, my sister's adopted. But I'll tell you, there's never really been a time that we felt adopted. It just doesn't come up in discussion. It just doesn't, not something we naturally think about, being adopted versus not adopted, because we're her kids. She's our mom. There's never been a doubt in my mind on how much love comes from my mom, because she is my mom and she has the heart of Jesus in the way she wants to be mom to me. So I'm very, very thankful for that. A lot of what I know about church and community and involvement with others at church comes from my mom. She was involved with Bible class, teaching class. She always went to Bible class. She's been involved in women's ministries, one of those women who would make meals for others. At times, she's also been the person that pays bills behind closed doors that people don't necessarily know about. And so a lot of her philanthropy and love for others comes from having a heart for Jesus. And she showed that. She didn't just tell us about it. She showed us about that. Just thank you, Mom. Appreciate it. Love you.
My mom was, she was an incredible lady. She was Proverbs 31 in living form. I feel very fortunate because she was small in stature, but she was a very strong woman. She raised three young men, and she really did it almost like a single parent. She was pretty incredible. The first few years of my professional career, I was an NFL football player. And I'll never forget coming out the locker room in Cleveland. And my mom, you know, she was there with my dad, and, you know, she was really happy to see me. And, you know, she came up to me as she was running to me, toward me. She gave me a big hug and she yelled, "Here's my baby." And I had to squeeze her a little tight and say, "Hey, mom, this is the NFL. You can't talk like that." And she said, "Be quiet. You're still my baby." So that's what it was. My mom was just, she didn't care about putting on a front. She was just, she was who she was. She helped everyone she could. Those people she couldn't help, she prayed for. My mom was a church-going, Bible-toting woman. And I told myself, once I left home, once I went off to college, that I would never go back to church again. There was no way. But, you know, the Bible says if you raise a child in the way he should go, even when he's old, he won't depart from it. My mom made sure I was in church every Sunday morning, and that helped me. It also helped me understand what she was trying to teach me, the love of Jesus. And she was a faithful woman to the end. She was just special, and she wanted to make sure that I received the knowledge of our God like she did. And I'm so thankful for the love she showed me. And I'll always be indebted to my mom. She was a special lady. And if I could say one thing to her right now, I would say, thank you. I love you for what you did.
Old Testament, there's a statement from Nehemiah, and I think it's so apropos for motherhood. I am doing a great work, and I cannot come down. Don't get sidetracked. There may be voices in our culture that might attack you and attack the role of being a mom, being a parent. You are doing a great work. You are a gift to your family, and you're a gift to the church. Before we close, I want you to hear from Carol Manley, Meredith Duncan, and Brittany Blackburn. This is only about a two-minute clip, but what they have to say, all three of them shared over the last couple of years, and I want you to hear the essence of their heart. Here we go.
I would really like to encourage new moms to relax and realize that they are perfectly well equipped. God has equipped them to raise the children that God has sent to them. I would definitely encourage young moms and let them know that they're doing a great job, that, you know, the old saying that the days are long and the years are short is really true. I remember days being very long, especially when the boys were younger. But the years have gone by very quickly. Each stage in motherhood is different. So mothering a very small infant, to mothering toddlers, to mothering elementary and then junior high and high school, and now college age kids and beyond, it's all different, but it's all doable. And I have found each stage to have its own unique joys that go along with it.
One of my very favorite verses is one that I've had to learn to depend upon, which was to be still and know that God is God. So when I've been busy in my trying to fix things, that verse has told me to stop and wait and trust that the God of the heavens is also the God of my child.
You know, if you're ever in a situation where, in motherhood, where you're questioning, God's goodness, you know, is how can God be good in this situation? How can God, where is his goodness in this? Where is his goodness in the death of my child? I think we can always find that answer going back to the cross, because he's already gifted me and you with the best gift that we'll ever have, the only thing in this life that we actually need. He has given it to us freely. And he's taking care of us. And so his goodness is shown vividly at the cross. And so when I am hurting and sad and questioning why, you know, always just go back to the cross.
We don't necessarily honor Jesus and follow Jesus just because mom said so. But many of us have a faith walk today because our mom, our dad played a part in introducing us to Jesus Christ. And to all the moms, grandmoms, again, we thank you, we honor you for your work. Proverbs 31 says, "Charm is deceptive, beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised."